They
but
really
we
are.
Should talk about my parents' thing with the packless travel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Totally. Because okay, we shared a thing. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Great. I'll clip that little bit out before we actually, yeah. Hello, and welcome to, once again, the Sprocket Podcast. This is Brock Dittus. This is the place where we are simplifying the good life.
And I'm Brandon Rhodes, and we are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
Yes, we are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations on the intricacies of thinking globally with a local perspective. And
enjoy.
I switched those two, yeah, and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way. Thank you.
We're flying here. We covering food and alcohol, bicycles and alternative transportation, communications, the internet, ballot day, ballyhoo.
Yeah, it's coming up here in Portland.
Oh, the ballots are in the mailbox.
They are. They were in my mail slot here. Brandon and I share a house with our two wives.
Mm. Indeed.
That is to say, I have a wife and he has a wife, and each of us has a floor. Not any other permutation of that could be, you know, I mean, although
there were four floors.
I was thinking about the wife sharing thing. Okay. Exactly what I was trying to say.
No. Mitt Romney might have things to say about that.
He possibly could. Not that he does that.
No.
And we wouldn't say that because we're a reputable news organization. Mm-hmm. We, in fact, might be the future of journalism. But no, you would drop the ballots in our mailbots.
And I don't vote in national politics, but I really enthusiastically vote at the local level.
Oh, you don't?
So I voted within 10 minutes.
Wow. Well, that works out pretty well.
I was happy.
So you don't vote for president then?
Nope.
Okay. So you're pretty much happy whatever happens. Or maybe you're just unhappy no matter what the situation.
No, I just think it's held captive our imaginations for how to participate in civics.
That's probably
true.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, most of the things that matter most to us happen on the local level anyways, so... Yeah, I said mail blots earlier. That's not what I meant. Mail slots is where you put the ballots that came in the mail. They're absentee ballots here in Oregon. And right next to that was a note that said, "These are my recommendations for your ballot."
Yes.
Signed, Brandon Rhodes.
With stamps.
With stamps.
That's not bribery.
Say here, please do. Please do the vote. Please do it now. So I haven't done that yet, but I shall. Mm-hmm. We're also in the room with Michael Anderson of Portland Afoot. And are you a part of anything else? Portland Afoot is your big project.
Yeah, I've got a side gig at Mercy Corps now. So
okay.
I write a blog for them.
Oh, congratulations.
Blog. Yeah.
Nice. The famous Michael Anderson here in the room with us. Yeah. And fresh off of a conference of the, the future of journalism.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
He arrived in a car and he was no.
He
arrived... in a car share system vehicle.
Much better.
Is that a good way to put it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So anyways, we're glad you came. We're glad you're here. And I was telling you about there's at least one person, but many other notable people have arrived by car, so you're not the only one. Don't worry. And if that's the only time you do it, you know, I mean, that's not so bad.
All right.
Let's move on, Brock.
People are doing it. You could do a lot worse for yourself. So, Brandon.
Carrier jet.
Arriving by helicopter. Yeah. Speaking of things that go into space, you, Brandon, are freaked out by billionaire asteroid miners.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about this.
Oh, gosh. For anybody who didn't see it in Seattle, the cracked out Bruce Wayne industrial complex of wannabe Playboy space mining crazy people.
Nicely put.
Yeah, well, it was sputtering out. Want to mine asteroids, planetary resources. They were just effusively sweaty and hot under the collar for rocking space. Or
yeah,
de-rocking space.
De-rocking and bringing the rocks back here.
Yeah.
As though we don't have enough.
Yeah.
Ours aren't valuable enough.
Well, it was just weird. Like, it really creeped me out. Like, on the one hand, I love sci-fi and I think space is fascinating and
yeah.
I get emotional when I watch a space shuttle go off, but like the whole thing behind it was like this narrative of growth, like what made humanity is that we went from hunter-gatherers to farmers and then we needed more and so we did this and then we needed more and so we did this, and it was like, dude, growth is the ideology of the cancer cell, and like and like, do you so scorn Earth that you think we can, like, it just seems totally shit crazy to me. And I'm sound like an old man here, but I high five them for their desire to get resources from there instead of here. But I think the idea that would stop us from raping the earth here is
that's the thing.
Well, yeah, and these are folks that want to live so high above the land that they can't be placed in their own bodies here on earth and be happy and grateful in that.
True enough. Yeah, to get stuff from there, you have
they're
to
they're delirious
stuff from
rich
here.
People. Mm-hmm. So, it may be the future. Whether I'll be dragged kicking and screaming into it, though.
Right, right. Well, if it was anything like the Next Generation Star Trek, you'd be more into it, right?
No.
It doesn't seem like Picard would be that fun to work for.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds better than Wayland Centauri or whatever. It happens in Aliens where it's this is it, though. It's the corporations controlling space.
That really is. Yeah, and you'll notice a subtle shift in that. I think the newest sci-fi movies actually have corporations running all the stuff as opposed to like some Federation of Planets. So, well, there you go. So anyways.
I've got a question about this.
Please do.
Okay, so is it more ethical to be pursuing manned spaceflight, do you think? Is that less troublesome to you guys?
Oh, it's not necessarily about like robotics or humans being part of it. I think it's all the rhetoric around it and like what's motivating us just sounds completely loony. Like if you think hard enough, it's kind of this like enlightenment idea that like if you throw enough like science and pure sterile reasoning and all that, like humans can do anything, and our destiny is in the stars, and that just seems so arrogant.
Yeah.
To me. And so I guess I saw only hubris. I watched I think the entire press conference.
Yeah, it was a live
Of a study in kind of know your enemy in a sense, but just the arrogance of it really haunted me. I wish him the best in being able to do amazing things like that, but at the same time, is growth, infinite growth in consumption, the narrative we want to be telling ourselves as a society?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's one thing that Star Trek has going for it. They fixed the problems on Earth before they went to space. And this situation has people, a lot of things, problems with food availability, with disease, with people killing each other. There's a lot of that still going on. And we're saying, hey, let's go into space. I would say Star Trek probably had the better vision for that, just for being able to say, hey, we figured out our shit. And then we went and raped other planets. So.
Or at least lived within the Prime Directive or whatever.
Well, yeah, I guess the Prime Directive stopped all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, good thing. Good thing for
the
that.
The non-raping.
The anti-raping clause.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, there's that. We have been distributing the Bike Safe Portland wallet size accident reports. And I talked about this last week. It's been fun. I've been meeting a lot of cool people. I went into Coventry Cycles, and have you heard about these yet?
These are awesome.
These are pretty cool.
I've seen your tweets about them.
Yeah, I've been tweeting quite a bit about them.
I like that.
It's been fun. I went into Coventry Cycles, which is Portland's premier recumbent bicycle shop. Mm-hmm. You've been there, Brandon, right? Is that where you test rode a recumbent bicycle?
Yes, I did.
Or a recumbent tricycle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is kind of your dream someday, right?
I so want a recumbent tricycle, and everybody mocks me for it.
Yeah, well. Yeah. It would be cool, I think. But apparently, Marilyn is the current owner. I met her when I went in to drop off a stack of the cards, and she is apparently an enormous success in just racing with bicycles and whatnot. She has done the Race Across America, which I believe Deanna was one of our guests last year. She and Adrian came on to talk about that crazy ride that they took through Mexico that's packed with travel, by the way. That's, they didn't have any sort of panniers or anything.
And they're vegans.
They put vegan food in their pockets and they rode. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know how they pulled that off.
Yeah. So anyways, the Race Across America is what I think Deanna had done. And apparently Marilyn from Coventry Cycles also has competed in and I think won the Race Across America several times. So she's a badass by all accounts and measures. So anyways, we're going to have her come in and talk about stuff someday.
Far out.
Yeah. And the Race Across America, that's the one where they don't sleep. It's just like
it's basically randonneuring.
Randonneuring without sanity. You're just like pushing yourself until you fall apart. So yeah, it sounds pretty exciting. I feel like in some twisted way, I'd like to participate in that someday, but I feel like it probably wouldn't be good for me. So anyways,
probably not.
Yeah. All that to say the Bike Safe Boston, Bike Safe Boston is the original project from Josh Zissen over in Boston. And, we have the Portland version here. So anyways, if that's something you want to get your hands on, we have a list of shops, in one of our posts on our website, or you can contact us directly at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com or, on the Twitter or Facebook or whatever else is convenient for you. and we can put those in your hands. So there was a guy who wrote in and said, hey, I'd like a stack, and then I don't think I ever heard back from him. So I hope he didn't get into a bike accident. Yeah,
I started making that noise with my mouth.
That's vocal sound effects are all right. Michael, are you an affectionado? Do you have any vocal sound effects that
I never
you like?
Heard that word. I think I know when I see it. Or hear
okay.
It
or, you well, know. You do have the juju fingers. The what was it?
The, oh, yeah. The,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah, that was from the what was it called? Humanity on Wheels, which mm-hmm. was a month ago, more than a month ago.
Something
it's
like
been
that.
A little while. But yeah, the live storytelling event about riding on transit and the things that happened there. So
yeah, by Trimid Diaries and Oregon History Podcast.
I think it's Oregon History, orhistory.com.
Kick-ass Oregon History.
Kick-ass Oregon History Podcast, which is pretty fun. Yeah. I've been catching up on that over the past couple months, and there's some good stuff there.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's anything else? We're on Stitcher. You know about that. Yeah. Well, hey, let's check out our news. And in order to check the news, we need music. And in order to get music, I need this app. Bam. Bam. There it is.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the daylight. Pedal just as fast as we can.
All right, and first up, from Bike Portland, Dutch Tubs are about to revel in it. Revolutionize Portland's leisure scene.
And this is really exciting.
God, I hope so.
Michael, have you heard about this?
No.
Check out the picture if you can see
That's
it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So it kind of looks like a cartoon pig, but only half of one.
Yeah, like a piggy bank. Yeah. Cracked open.
But it's
full of bubbling hot water.
Yeah, this is a thing that you will soon be able to rent from Clever Cycles downtown, pretty close to the bridge on Hawthorne Boulevard. And Clever Cycles is ordering some of these Dutch tubs, which are hot tubs on wheels that you can tow behind your bike that are powered by a wood fire.
With so a coil. Basically... It's a there's a coil system that the fire is in the middle of.
Okay.
And that heats the water.
So wow. You've actually looked into this more than I have.
Well, I looked at the picture.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah. I didn't realize that was a circulatory system. So basically how a hot tub works, right? You take water out and heat it up and spit it back
so
in.
So it cools off, sinks to the bottom, goes back up.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's a little vacuum.
Simple physics. So this picture at the bottom here, actually, right there, like on the ocean, with two people romantically intertwined in a tub, sitting and watching the sunset. That just sounds like the perfect... Absolutely perfect situation. That there's, it could not get better than that.
It weighs what, 100 pounds?
150 pounds. So it's a heavy son
Holy
of a gun. But
God.
But you can pull that behind your bicycle.
But they rent, hopefully, electric assists at Clever Cycles.
I bet you could. If you can't get them from Clever Cycles, you could rent the electric bike somewhere else and then pick up the Dutch tub at Clever Cycles and then take that, you know, wherever you wanted to take it.
They've got electric assists on the trailers too now, so you can just get one on the trailer apparently.
That's actually not a bad idea. And if you had one of those chassis that Beeline uses to deliver stuff by a huge trike, you could mount your Dutch tub on that. But it just seems like this
soup
is really
bike
exciting.
Could just fill this thing up with soup.
Dude, soup cycle with a Dutch tub. We got to talk to them about this. I'd like
to try cleaning out our coil, and we discovered that it was full of chowder.
Minestrone, yeah. Chowder's a funny word. Minestrone is also a funny word. What, stew? Stew is only a partially funny word.
Bisque
is funny, but not people. Not as many people know it's a soup. That was the soup Nazi soup was bisque.
Yes.
I think from the acclaimed Seinfeld series. Yeah, I think the
acclaimed.
Yes.
Sure.
It was on television and people liked it. The Dutch tub thing, I think someone mentioned that this might be great for the World Naked Bike Ride, which happens in Portland every year. So if you've already got people without clothing, you know, why not add a hot tub to the mix? So... That's a thought. I don't know how they would tow full of liquid. I think they're designed to be carried without.
That would be so
without
much
water.
Heavier.
Yeah, because what a gallon of water
on wheels
or a gallon of liquid is like 8 pounds, mm-hmm. depending on the liquid, I guess. But so if you get, I don't even know the capacity. That'd be a lot
it's
heavier.
It's in that thing of the naked people in it.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I would imagine the axle might not be equipped on the trailer for this to actually handle that much weight. So anyways, all that to say, this is a really exciting idea, and hopefully they come around soon. I would like to take one bicycle camping. Like if you could get it out across the West Hills maybe to Stubbs Stewart State Park.
Stubbs Stewart State Park.
Say that 5 times fast. Nope. I can't. So yeah, that, there's that.
Also from Bike Portland, Jogger asks about legality and courtesy of jogging in streets.
And this is kind of a big thing.
Jog Portland.
Yeah, let me ask you, Michael. Do you know the answer to this already?
Well, you certainly shouldn't jog in the bike lane itself, but on the street, aren't you? You should be facing traffic and so on. Is that the?
I think, yeah, I think that's the thing. The complaint from this writer was the idea. Let's see, it's quoted here. I was yelled at on Tuesday by a bicyclist who claimed I was doing something illegal by jogging on the street. Was he right? And I think that's the thing. As long as there's a sidewalk around, at least here in Portland and in Oregon, as long as there's a sidewalk around, the pedestrian is obligated, I believe, to use it. Hmm. And a lot of people, a lot of times, I think over here on Duke Street, many times we've seen people on foot running, sometimes against traffic, which is the best way to run, so you can see what's coming at you. But yeah, usually in the bike lane and obstructing that for anyone who would like to use it. Sometimes it's not a big of a deal because if it's not a busy street, you can easily, you know, weave around them. If it's a busier street, that can get a little tricky. I'm not sure how it would work on a street with sharrows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sharrows, I guess that gives you more room.
The sharrows are going to almost always have sidewalks on them as well.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, there are very few roads with sharrows without sidewalks.
There are definitely some, right? Isn't that part of the point of the greenways? Is that they're built for all sorts of physical
I think so,
activities?
Yeah.
So there's for jogging as well?
Yeah, that seems like it would make sense, definitely.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. The other thing is parked cars. If there are cars parked along the side of the road, that can make it more difficult, both for joggers to get out of the lane, if there's going to be a conflict, and also for bicyclists to get away if there's also traffic between, yes. Yeah, on both sides. So anyways, the bottom line, Ray Thomas, the lawyer here from Portland, says the general rule is that when pedestrians proceed along an Oregon highway, which in legal terms means any road, they must walk along either a usable sidewalk or, if on a shoulder, as far as practicable from the roadway edge, facing oncoming as opposed to overtaking traffic. So, yeah,
I'm glad we know that now.
That's our legal advice from Ray Thomas. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Ray Thomas might be the guy that also has a set of cards that he's been distributing. I'd have to check on that. But if you want the full text of, it might not be the full text of the Oregon law. It's at least a summary of all of the laws pertaining to bicycling. Okay. So yeah, he's got one of those too.
I just took it out of my wallet, his card, last night because I was trying to thin down my wallet. And I was like,
okay.
Oh, I know all this crap.
Well, if you've already committed it to memory, that's all right. Yeah. Yeah. But he's got a fuller explanation of Oregon law. We have Oregon law on the accident report cards, but there's fewer of them. There's like six. And they're graphically represented. So there's that. Oops, wrong button. Sorry. Here.
Wow. Well, I guess it's okay.
Wait. I got it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I was lining this up earlier.
Okay,
so
get ready
for
it.
Okay. Here it comes. It's going to take forever now. I apologize. This is going to be a really big buildup, but this is something that Brandon likes a lot. Brandon has showed me this YouTube clip many, many times.
Open the box, Joe!
And this is Oprah opening a box. And what's inside?
Bees!
That's right.
Indeed, bees are coming on bikes.
I don't know.
Chicago.
Michael, have you seen this YouTube clip before?
No.
I mean, I think it originally came from some show.
It had the black-eyed peas, but it sounded like bees.
Right. So it's like the black-eyed bees are coming, except it's...
And they after effects a bunch of bees flying around, and she's like dancing in the bees, and people are crying. It's
right.
Awesome.
And you know, it's the standard Oprah show where, like, you know, people are crying because, like, it's so overwhelming. It's such an emotional moment that they're going to get to see the black-eyed peas. But in this video, it looks as though they're crying.
I'm tearing up at the very thought of seeing
it. It looks as though they're crying because the bees are coming. So.
Yeah, stop what you're doing. Hit pause on the on your podcast player.
Yeah.
And YouTube Oprah bees.
You're gonna love it.
And sob yourself back into this episode.
That's right. So
what the hell is the actual thing about
the story here? Is that there is
it's the first time we've had Oprah on the show, by the way.
Yes, there's a program in Chicago called the Bike a Bee Project, and as I believe Grid Chicago says, it's generating quite a buzz. yeah. Okay. So anyways, Jana Kinsman is someone who's very interested in this, in the idea of beekeeping. And I believe that an apiary is the name for a place where bees are kept, or where they're, you know, curated for honey. Yes. Bee box. BB boxing all over the place. The catch is she's running a Kickstarter campaign. I'm not sure if she's still running it or if it has finished. But she's trying to raise $7,000 for hive equipment and packages of bees, plus a bike trailer to transport the gear to apiaries she will maintain. So it's Urban Farms in Chicago. And apparently, if I'm not mistaken, I think there's, APM has the show, The Promised Land?
Yeah.
With Majora Carter.
Majora Carter.
And I believe she had an interview with the outfit that does beekeeping in Chicago. It was pretty interesting. But I think this lady here is tied into it. But the idea is that... people want to keep bees, but they got to get the hives and they have to have the bees delivered somehow. And so basically she wants to deliver them by bicycle. And she got the idea from somebody in Eugene, Oregon, except he uses a truck. So so what the fuck, Eugene? That's what we want to know.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, so anyway, she's been working on this. Apparently
we have an entire podcast called What the Fuck, Eugene?
That'd be the smaller offshoot of Mark Maron's successful
EMX
podcast.
Not
yeah,
what the fuck?
Exactly,
not streetcars.
I guess it's Blessed Bee is the name of the organization down there. Multiple locations around Eugene, and he would deliver these things. It wasn't just his yard; he had 20 hives, but he had them everywhere else as well. And I would imagine the way bees work, if you can. I imagine you could get bees that would be
being
like...
being the apia expert that you
are. Do you think they'd be interchangeable? Like if you have hives all over the place, like would they play nicely with each other?
Like, this I do not know.
Say I have a beehive in my yard and our neighbor has a beehive in their yard and they're the same kinds of bees. Would they go back and forth? Would they make honey in both hives?
Or is there some sort of hive mind that happens?
Well, there probably is a hive mind. Thank you, Brennan.
That was way too low hanging.
See, bees are like the Borg. There's probably... is there a queen?
Yeah.
If you're keeping bees, you have to have a queen. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're not going to hang around.
They go away. They die.
Okay. So everybody's loyal to their queen until the end. I was going to make a God Save the Queen joke, but I can't...
I was going through Freddie Mercury myself.
What's that? So. Okay. So anyways, I'm curious about beekeeping, but we probably should have somebody on about that someday. If there are any resident beekeepers out there in the Sprocket audience, please get in touch and we'll talk to you.
I know a beekeeper.
Do you know? Well,
I can totally connect.
Never mind.
Never mind, everybody.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay.
Don't talk to us.
Right. If you have anything else, you can write to us at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Are we going to do these last three?
Let's do it.
Okay. You're going to have to do them because you just left me the URLs.
Oh, really?
Well, how about this? A photo contest.
Oh, yeah.
By way of takingthelane.com, there's a photo contest for bad streets for bicycling. That's
Yeah. Ellie Blue is out on the car. She is actually using a car for her national tour. She's advocating bicycle usage, but apparently the easiest way to get from city to city is by car. But there was an interesting story about recently. I believe there was a fire in the car, and I can't remember exactly how it started. But some of her merchandise got burned in the back seat.
Oh.
And I think it was like anti-car t-shirts that she was selling while she's on the tour.
The car.
So the car just
have that in it.
The car just got angry.
The car had indigestion.
So anyways, car burn. Yeah. She's doing a cool thing. And if I'm not mistaken, there's something in the mailbag about that later. But she's hosting the contest basically saying, hey, if you go bicycling and you are in incredibly inhospitable conditions, send us your pictures, and we're going to have a contest to find the worst bicycling infrastructure, or like the worst bicycling streets that we can find in America. So I believe this picture that she has on the thing, I'm all stammering. This, I think, is in Vegas, I'm not mistaken.
But, so there's some good pictures there.
Tons and tons of asphalt and no bicycle lanes, no infrastructure for bicycles specifically. So anyways, people ride on this street apparently, and it just looks like it sucks. So if you ride somewhere and it sucks, take a picture of it, send it to Ellie, and you might win something. I can't remember what the prize is. Oh, it's down here somewhere. Well, I can't find it. So anyways, you win something cool. Admiration, perhaps.
Next up, I'm just going to try and read the slugs on this. By way of broxfeedproxy.google.com. New Huts made off-road family-friendly mountain bike. Oh, fuck it.
No, it's okay. All right. So New Hots make off-road family-friendly Mount Hood bike adventure possible. This is the thing we were telling you about earlier, Brennan. There's a company that has been dropping these self-contained huts with canned food and supplies inside of them at various locations around Mount Hood. And the idea is that
it's not prizes. You have to pay for this.
Yes.
It's not a contest to find them.
That's true. I think it's at like, was it $500 a person for the longest trip?
For 6 days.
6 days, yeah. So you get to stay at one of these each night. And they provide your food, your water. I believe they might have facilities built into them as well. By that, I mean a toilet. But apparently they've been dropping these around Mount Hood in the National Forest, in the wilderness, all over the place. So you could be bicycling, say, for maybe 6 to 20 miles a day on your mountain bike, carrying nothing, and you show up in a clearing, and here is one of these little green huts made of like aluminum siding, and you can stay there, and the food's there, and yeah, it sounds kind of cool. It's the sort of thing that might be a little bit on my price range for now, just because I'm already doing other things that
you
I enjoy.
A mountain bike,
and I would have to buy a mountain bike, but you could probably rent one of those too.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like a fun time. So, anyways, there's that.
Great idea.
Check it out.
Great.
And lastly, this is a transit story.
By way of the PSU Vanguard. The Night Out Guide tells us about a bus, max, streetcar, or taxi.
Yes, and Michael, have you seen this article already?
No, I'm interested.
This is the PSU Vanguard, and I was just looking it over earlier. That's the student newspaper, I believe, at Portland State University. So and the opening paragraph says, if you're reading this, you're probably in college. That means this weekend you're probably going to drink. Hell, if you're reading this on a Friday morning, you're probably already three mimosas deep. So anyways, they're talking about the best ways to get home once you've drunken yourself into a stupor. And basically outlining the ideas of where public transit goes, how late it runs, and what your options are. So
the LCC board could read this. They could use this tip too.
That's true. They would like to know about those underage drinkers, I'm sure.
No, they're the ones who drink.
Oh, gotcha. Okay,
I got two board members, I believe. That, anyway.
That's why they're here. And that's why they're so stingy. Mm. They want it all for themselves. Hypocrites. So the idea is basically if you're trying to get from one place to another downtown, streetcar and max are perfect because right now the free rail zone exists. Right now.
Till September. We should ride the shit out of that thing on August 31st.
Yeah, definitely. Every day should be max day.
Hang out with the juggalos at Lloyd Center.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's going to make it more difficult to do the, what is it, no pants on max? Is that a thing that still
happens?
That's
true, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've heard about it, so I couldn't think.
I think we got bored. We were like, you know, no pants. Portland.
The bar has been set even higher for weird now.
That's
so we
right.
Have to, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that. And then basically there are some bus lines that run from one place to another. The max runs later than buses. But if you miss all of those entirely, taxis are available. And I assume you've ridden a taxi before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there we go. Brandon?
Yes.
Okay, once. I've never ridden a taxi
really?
In my life.
It's like being in the backseat of a car.
That sounds cool. Is there enough legroom?
Blow your mind. Have you been in a sedan? A coupe?
This sounds like an experience that, well, actually, maybe not. Because I used to
I bet you have.
I used to have a sedan, but I usually was driving it. So, yeah. Anyways, I need to try taxi cab out sometime. I think that would be fun.
I think taxis are on the way out. I think we've got the car to goes.
Yeah, car
totally
to go.
Totally a substitute for the taxi use case.
That's true, yeah.
And
car to go is taking people's jobs, man.
That's right.
Yeah, and maybe you should explain car to go
car to go is this point to point. That's what they call it, point-to-point car sharing. So it's like it's these little smart cars, two-seaters, and they drop a car at locations around the city in the sort of like from here basically to on the edge of the central city to the other side of the central city. And you can park it anywhere for free in that duration and you just leave it there.
And you can leave it there, which is the primary draw to me is that like with traditional car rentals, you bring them back to the place you rented them from.
Exactly.
But car to go... And by the way, I think is it approaching the end of the free trial
so
thing?
You've got they're a sponsor. I should disclose, I guess.
There we go.
But
okay.
Yeah. So I am hopefully getting paid for saying this right now. But the
that's fantastic.
Yeah, I know. They have a free sign up for Portlanders until the 7th, I believe, of May.
Oh, there we go. So next week, go and get your car to go.
Car2go.com with the number 2. And you can sign up for this totally awesome, like, low overhead, don't worry about the deadline.
There's no membership, really.
Well, no, they're waiving the $35 membership.
Oh, okay.
So usually, you know, Yeah, and they give you some free driving time so you can try it out. It's great. I've done it like 4 times so far. It's fantastic.
And there's no like locations you have to return it to. Exactly. Like a zip car. Right. You can just leave it outside.
You see these blue and white cars scattered around town. It's in like 4 or 5 cities now, and it's coming to other cities soon. But it's like Zipcar, except you don't have to take it back anywhere. You just see it, you pop in, you drop it off.
You don't even have to reserve it.
You can
iPhone or whatever,
right? But you don't have to. You can just, you know, unlock it.
It's all magic.
Just get in.
Yeah, it's kind of exactly.
What's to stop us all from just driving these things out to Gresham, just so people know what it's like in East County, or at least let Gresham know that they exist.
The only thing to stop you is signing up for your free membership to Car2Go.
Exactly.com.
Yeah. And Brog didn't get paid to say that. So.
No, I'm just excited.
It's a great idea.
I was thinking it almost gives you the thrill of stealing a car without the legal ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you can get into this thing.
It gives you none of the thrill. Take it for a joyride. $13, Brock.
when I steal a car, the first thing I do is wave my pass card over the windshield on the outside, get in, and then drive it away.
Mm-hmm. That's with the Brock card.
That's right. And by the Brock card, I mean a crowbar. So anyways.
This is what happens.
I've never stolen a car. But you can actually... You can take this car somewhere. That's what I was building up to, is that you can drop it off somewhere. You can abandon this car anywhere in town in a legal parking area and just leave it there.
Yeah.
And someone else will take care of it. Maybe we should close out the news segment. This is the last news segment here. Let's do that right now.
You're taking a lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle. You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
And it should probably be said that we are enjoying the New Belgium Ranger India Pale Ale. Was it called the Hop Ranger at one point? I don't know if they rebranded it or not, but it's a nice one. And I chose pale ales because one of the issues of Portland Afoot recently was the ideas issue, and that was February. Okay, there we go. And that was just zany ideas that could revolutionize Portland's transportation scene. And they were rated in their level of zaniness by the number of IPAs it would take you to get there. I think so. Yeah. Anyway, so that was what motivated me to pick these up.
You should know that I actually made that with Brock in mind. I was like, you know, Brock will really enjoy this IPA thing, and I'm not kidding. I knew
you're
that,
shitting me.
Yes. No, because I know you're a subscriber, and I was thinking of.
Are you serious? You know,
people who might. Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's right.
So, wait. This is a. All right.
I'm glad to.
I bestow upon you the blessing of your ancestors.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I think we finished talking about Car2Go. We could probably talk about them all night just because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Steal cars, kids, but do it legally with car2go.com.
That's right.
Should we use that for a liner someday? I'll give that to you for your podcast.
Yes, we.
Also, Portland Afoot has a fantastic podcast of their own, which the next episode is coming out sometime, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's been in the can for a few days. Lily's in our producer, Lily, who's been on the show.
Yes, she has.
Is in Europe, and so because they're socialists, you know, the internet is not very well developed. Exactly. Yeah. You know, they have to wait for the government to approve.
Right. Well, you have to stand in line to get your passcode.
Yeah, exactly.
You can get a healthcare and everything else, but no Wi-Fi.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, it comes out monthly.
Right.
Which has actually just completely opened my eyes to the impressiveness of your weekly production schedule. It is, that's a monster, guys. And
yeah,
You know? Yeah, this is the 75th episode.
This is the 75th episode.
Happy 75th.
Thank
guys.
You. We should probably have mentioned that earlier. I was going to say, I was going to congratulate you for, you know, stepping in at a memorable number of episodes.
Yeah, because we have 5 fingers.
Well, who wants to be like, you know, episode 86 or something?
Nobody.
It's going to suck.
Oh, shit, 86 is going to be pissed.
I wonder who that was now. I can't remember. But yeah, that's going to be sometime in the summer. They won't care. But yeah, it's fun. Talking into microphones and whatnot. Yeah. So you had a couple of things that we were going to talk about.
Do
you want to do the questions and answers first? Then?
No, last.
That's okay. Well, we'll save that for later.
Yeah,
so
lightning round.
In that case, here in town, TriMet has been battling in not quite arbitration. They've been talking civilly and and with all politeness about the contract for their workers. And they just got to, it wasn't an agreement, apparently, is what you were saying earlier. But they have finally come to a point where they are going to play nice or nicer.
Yeah, maybe. So I should say Portland Afoot is this magazine for transit commuters, basically, is the audience in Portland. And you know, people who get around by transit occasionally. But I think that the core of it is people who ride it pretty regularly. And so I cover I've been covering this whole battle with the between the union and the management. The management's been arr, and the union's been arr, and it just it's a big pirate battle between the two of them.
Except the president of the union was more like rawr, rawr.
That's a better impression. Brock is a member of the union in question, and so he's got true. His personal. He's got skin in the game.
There's some history behind that noise. Mm. So yeah.
Okay. I missed that. I get it.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I should have done this. Rawr.
Right. Just over the weekend on Friday, the union announced that they are going to, for the first time, accept a payment from their members for their healthcare premiums. So for the first time, people are going to have the members of the TriMet workers are going to have to pay a share of their healthcare premiums, and they have had one of the best healthcare packages in the country. This is not something that Brock has because he's part of a different unit of
it's
the
true.
Union of the local.
Yeah, I've been paying for a long time now.
Right, exactly. But anyway, TriMet has this great deal where they basically get free healthcare, $5 copays, and no deductible. It's a great deal.
Right.
And
dental.
Know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dental. that's the self-employed person speaking.
I'm with you there, man.
Yeah. All right. So the members voted about 2/3 to 1/3, overwhelming margin, to accept a higher premium, and this was the recommendation of union leadership, and it's been a thing that the TriMet management has been hammering them about every they should get these free premiums and so on, and so it may be good news, you know, for the riders, because a huge amount of the cost of operating is going into these ever rising medical costs, which is ultimately not the union's fault. I mean, they negotiated really well,
sure.
And that's great.
Yeah.
But the fact is that the medical costs keep going up and up and up and up really fast. Mm-hmm. And we've got this huge medical problem in the country, and the riders are paying for it in reduced service every 12 months.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all those doctors, I guess, still trying to pay off of their college loans. So really education is the thing
that
we have to, blame them for our high bus fares.
I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting just because it's been such a big battle for so long, and organization and provider TriMet has been notable for a long time for providing such a fantastic benefits package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of one of the last holdouts in a lot of ways, like after every other organization has stopped paying for, pension plans and going to the doctor for childcare, for that sort of thing. TriMet has still been, they've been taking pretty good care of their employees.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of come to the point where people are realizing this is not a sustainable model anymore.
Right.
Especially when everybody, like all the revenue streams for how to pay for TriMet is just drying up, and there's just no flexibility in this right now.
Right. Yeah. There was
if we can replace Hughes, that might change things.
But. Yeah. The way TriMet interacted with the public around this whole question of budget was really innovative. And we talked about this some time ago. I called it a game. You said it wasn't a game, Brandon, but it was basically survey.
I'm pro game as a description of this thing. Yeah. So this is I think it was great. So this is like part of a trend of they call it gamification, where, we're turning more and more parts of our lives into sort of like games because,
there's achievements in Game Center for this.
Yeah, exactly.
On your iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turning more sort of like translating more things into game like procedures. And so they had a balance the budget thing, which went viral, and all the media in town covered it.
I had a blast.
It was great. No. It was not so much the fact that it was like difficult to do, but that it was an informative process, right? So like it gave people a way to interact with the public process that was totally unique by saying, yes, I want this, no, I don't want that, and then it had a little scrolling bar that tells you how much money you've cut from the system
in real time.
Yeah, exactly. So you have a sense for like how much, people are like, oh, if they only charged another 25 cents, or oh, if they only like enforced the fares or whatever, you got a sense for what each of those little things,
how little that or how much that
exactly
may help.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And right. It turned out that ad revenue, Dr. Jeff has spoken much about the dangers of the poetry on the Max, and the poetry that is placed up there, they always choose rather obscure authors and rather rather obscure selections from poems.
Populist. They're populist.
Are they populist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They just love the people and their shitty poetry.
There we go. Yeah. Well, as long as we can call it shitty, that's the important part.
That was one of the hard truths that Jeff told. I thought that was great.
Gets to his point. Yeah, precisely, rather. The idea that if we swapped out some of those poetry placards for actual advertisements that people would pay for, it didn't actually generate that much more revenue. It was interesting.
300,000 or something.
Yeah, we're already wrapping the Max cars with advertisements for bigger companies. We'll
Jeff Gianola's face all over everything.
That's right. Or one that looks like a giant burrito from Chipotle.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah. Mm. So anyways, it was interesting just to see kind of how that works. But it was basically the Farmville of public opinion, just kind of trying to figure out what it looks like, to move these numbers around and see like how to fix the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was a big success. I mean, usually they get 20 people at these public hearings, and they had, and I don't know the numbers, but it was in the multiple thousands of people had responded to the survey. And that's a huge number of people who are like engaging with the public process because it's this sort of simple enough but interactive and meaningful thing that a lot of people care about. And they forwarded it to their friends and, people completed it and were part of the process.
And you wouldn't usually see that many responses to a survey, online survey in most cases.
Right. It proves that transit is something that people care about in local transit in their area, like you were saying. People care about their local stuff.
Well, what is there anything else that you're super excited about these days as far as the low car lifestyle is concerned?
We were talking about the car sharing. In general, the fact that Car2Go and Getaround have both come to town. Getaround is a thing that lets you turn your own car into a zip car.
That's right. You've heard about this, Brendan?
Yes. Yeah,
it's a great idea. So it works perfectly.
Get paid to have a car you don't use that much.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Or get paid to not use your car.
Yeah.
Right.
What was the story? It was a lady in San Francisco, I believe, mm-hmm. who had a car that people wanted to use, and it generated enough revenue for her to basically live and travel kind of gratis. Like, she didn't have to do any other work.
In South America.
Just owning a car.
Yeah. So it wasn't, I should say that technically, if she's actually turning a profit on her vehicle, then she becomes a business, and that's a different category of insurance. So that would be illegal if that were to that scale. So I hope that she's got other revenue because they've been putting this story out, and now so the IRS probably knows about her. But
Of course she does. Well, I'm sure she's a published online author who's selling ebooks, and she may also, in fact, have an Etsy store and many other ways in which she's generating.
That's been said on the Sprocket podcast. It's gospel truth to the IRS.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly.
We will
take our stand behind that statement.
So two things about the car sharing. Now that we've got more car shares per capita in the Portland area than any other city in the world.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. In the world.
That is. So the inventor of, not the inventor, but the guy who brought car sharing to the United States lives in Portland. His name is Dave Brook. And
really?
Yeah. He invented this thing called car sharing in Portland in 1997. And that was bought by Flexcar, which was then bought by Zipcar. And
right.
So he seeded the idea.
That's fantastic.
So now he's a car sharing consultant. That he had this, he made this calculation. He was saying that, We have the most robust car sharing options in the world. We've got 250 Zipcars, 200 Getaround, 250 Car2Go, and that's a lot of shared vehicles.
That's approaching 1,000 shared vehicles.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That is quite a lot. Yeah. As Dave Brook was his name?
Dave Brook.
Okay, we're gonna have to earmark him sometime for an interview.
I would recommend him. Yeah, that's great. And also, we are the only city in the country with more car sharing options than major league sports teams. Which I thought was amusing.
Because we have like two.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
What are our major? We have the Blazers, the Trailblazers.
The Trailblazers and the
affectionately referred to as the Jail Blazers. Although that era is kind of over. And then the Portland Timbers went major league.
Are they major league?
Yeah. That was a big flip-flop thing. They changed out the players. They changed out the soccer team. And they changed out the nature of the Timbers Army songs, I believe. They made them more family-friendly.
Did they? I didn't know that.
Well, I went to a Timbers game long ago.
Pretty brutal.
Like 2005, 2006, long before they were a major league thing. It was back when Timber Jim was still the mascot. He was like the old guy who would, climb up a pole and carve a piece of wood off of a tree.
As we do leisurely here in Portland.
That's what we do for fun. Yeah, exactly. And that's after we've had a maple bacon bar from Voodoo Donuts and Drek and I are Stumptown Coffee. But anyways, it was just, lots of cheers and chants and whatnot.
So we began the episode. Profane. We began the episode mentioning that ballots are in the box for any of our Portland listeners who are registered to vote at their current address.
That's right.
Do you have any, like, what's something that's exciting to you and maybe also something discouraging to you about the three mayoral candidates?
Oh, good question. We just did this voter's guide.
I don't know if you are allowed to endorse or high-five anybody, but at least you can
Portland
say.
Portland Afoot is not allowed to endorse, but I'm here as Michael Anderson, the employee of Portland Afoot. So yeah. And I am speaking, whatever I may or may not say is not speaking for Portland Afoot, the 501c3 organization. Yes.
Dude, look at us giving you a voice. That's fantastic.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Yeah, Portland, the mayoral race is great. It's a three-way mayoral race, basically. There are three leading candidates, and they are, I mean, they're pretty far to the left in general, and that's, you know, to be expected, because it would be stupid for them not to be if they were serious candidates in Portland.
True enough.
Yeah. I shouldn't disclose who I voted for.
That's all right. No, yeah. I was thinking the rodeo kid didn't probably get most of the vote.
So, so tell me something for all of our TriMetting folks out there, TriMet mindful.
Right.
What's something cool? What's something perhaps about each one?
Okay, so
let's start with Charlie Hales.
Charlie Hales, he loves a streetcar. He's the father of the streetcar, and this is a a one car vehicle that goes around in downtown. It's different from the Max, which is a light rail system. It's much bigger in capacity. Streetcar is sort of like a fancy bus with rails underneath it. Mm-hmm. And it has been hugely successful in getting this fancy development downtown. And he would love to see it continue to expand everywhere. And he is one of the few who would. We talked to all the other city council candidates. He was by far the most enthusiastic. There are a couple others who were like, yeah, we could use it for this or that. But the other two mayoral candidates definitely said, no more streetcar. We're done with that. That was enough for now. Hmm. And so that's
because he wants
difference.
To penetrate deeper into the east side with it.
Yeah. He thinks everywhere. But yeah.
Does he think that I don't entirely understand our city government system, but I know that we have a weak executive. Would he be able to actually do that?
Well, if he were
if he were in Metro, maybe.
Well, if he were the transportation commissioner.
Yeah.
Then and the mayor gets to make the assignments of which bureau. So okay. We've got this weird sort of like assigned dictatorial system where the mayor gets to decide which council member is the dictator over the different bureaus. And then the full council only has control over the purse strings. So the little policy decisions decisions are all made by the council members that have been given oversight over that bureau. So anyway, he would probably want to be the transportation guy. He was before. He would want to be again. And then he would have dictatorial control over that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There you go. And penetrating streetcars.
Penetrating. Yeah.
What is there something that may furrow your brow about, Charlie?
About Charlie?
Chuck?
Streetcar is very, very expensive to build. And the TriMet is running the new streetcar line that they're going is sort of much of it is along the same route that a bunch of buses already run. And so there's this whole like question of whether we should be paying for extra streetcar service, whether we already have a bus line and like, shouldn't we be prioritizing buses somewhere else? And so like somebody outside the streetcar covered area of town might say, you know, why are we doubling up the service in that part of town when we could be having better service over here? I think that's the biggest argument against
park and ride.
Even if instead of being a circuit to an inner zone, like his ideas are to go deeper into.
Right. Yeah. And so he is trying to expand it to other neighborhoods. Exactly. So yeah. I guess that would be his argument.
Those ideas are way better than the one that they're building now, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
That's my take on it. Like, right. The six is doing its job.
Yeah.
Right.
So next candidate then, Jefferson Smith.
Jefferson Smith.
We're supposed to end on Jefferson.
Are we supposed to? Oh, okay. So next candidate, Eileen Brady.
Eileen Brady. The.
That's just because you know him, right?
Yeah. I think Eileen Brady's.
I've worked with him before, yeah.
Biggest. She's sort of staked out the very slightly to the right point of the political spectrum, which I think is kind of weird because
you think
like,
she's the most moderate of the three?
Of the three, yeah. I would say so. I mean, that's her rhetorical position, which is weird because like, I don't actually know what these people think. It's just like, what can I guess about what your decision making would be like by the way you've chosen to communicate your policies rhetorically during the campaign? Like you're like, fake what you've chosen to emphasize stuff during the campaign.
Spin.
Yeah, right. So it's like, what can I suss out about you from what you choose to spin and the way you choose to do it? Mm-hmm. Anyway, she has chosen to be slightly to the right of these guys. She has said that we are underinvesting in automobile infrastructure. She has said that we need to fire the head of the Bureau of Transportation on day one because he's insufficiently focused on automobiles. And
she said that?
Yeah.
I am really glad we're able to say that to our listeners now. I did not know that.
She was on a bicycle in her television ad.
That's true.
So, yeah.
So, and she's also, so like, she also does say, you know, bikes are cheap investments and, you know, they're very cost effective, which is accurate. And we should be improving our bicycle boulevard system because that's a very cost effective way to get people around town. Mm-hmm. But she also is opposed to sort of larger investments in bikes that could increase the number of people on bikes around town.
Right. And she does seem to be very pro car as well.
She's certainly positioning herself as the most, she's also in a car in her hand.
Yeah. That, there you go. Yeah. You can be both.
Right.
But yeah, she is both. So,
yeah. Good things about her? Is that what?
Well, like something neat about or related to
she car started free a nice living grocery and, store.
She did. Yeah, it's a great grocery store. She was part of the, her family was one of the co-founding families that started New Seasons, one of our great little grocery stores that is super, it's actually really innovative in having very little auto parking and therefore like locating in small spaces and having low floor space and really high sales per square foot, which is fantastic.
Really narrow
for
aisles.
For urban neighborhoods. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, if you go to New York City, they've got special New York City carts, right? For the New York City aisles. And that's what we're going to have
it's
someday.
As wide as a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hear the New Seasons is the friendliest store in town. So
that's what I hear too. Yeah. Jefferson?
Jefferson Smith.
So he's the he's positioned himself slightly to the left.
You always end with the person that you like. And
that's true.
Brandon really clearly likes Mr. Smith.
I haven't taken the Jefferson pill, but I do like
it. Here's what I like best about Jefferson Smith. His dog is named George Bailey, which is an awesome... what's the director's name?
The film from the...
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Right. So he was like inadvertently named for the character in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
George Bailey was the Wonderful Life guy.
Yeah. Which is by the same director and writer.
Yes.
And so
also
it's
stars Jimmy Stewart.
Right.
Somebody needs IMDb for us, you know.
Right. Yeah. Frank Capra.
There we go. Thank you for the win. Michael Anderson again.
You've got
no.
Awesome.
And I lose.
You've got Benjamin.
That's pretty awesome. And he's also been the most vocal opponent of the Columbia River Crossing, which is our big highway expansion. And that would take a lot of money that could be spent on other things that, you know, and there's a lot of evidence that people aren't, the bridge is built, the need for the bridge is built on assumptions that were 10 years ago when people were driving a lot more. And it's built on this assumption that people are going to drive forever. And they just, you know, people aren't as into driving.
That's right. As Johnny Kay says, you can't suck on mother's milk forever.
So he hasn't said that much about public transit beyond boo CRC.
He's had this very interesting thing because he's from the east side of the town where we've had a bunch of sort of high profile crime incidents and so on public transit. And one of his big campaigns was that we have to play music at transit stations. You guys know about this thing?
So it happens every morning when I go past Lloyd Center.
So they've just moved
Freaks
this to Lloyd
out.
Center recently.
Freaks
they
me
had
out.
It. Me too. They had it at the 140-something or something station for a long time. They'll play opera and classical music because the idea is that this deters crime.
Drive
Maybe it's
down
because
crime.
The hoodlums are, you know, the young kids don't like the opera, and so they're like just so annoyed by it that they go hang out somewhere else. I don't know what the thing is. But,
I think that's it. Yeah. If they're anything like me, they hate it and they just they move away.
Yeah. So if we can assume that Brock is the most hoodlum-like person in this room, which I think we obviously agree.
That's right.
Yeah. He's wearing all black, for heaven's sake.
Exactly.
His hair is spiky.
Yeah. We can conclude that Jefferson is right. And he got TriMet to voluntarily do this under threat of a law that would require them to do it because he was going to get one passed in the legislature. Huh. Yeah. Things to worry about him. He's kind of a screw up, sort of like me. I have been sort of trying to resist my sympathies to Smith because I know that he's like, you know, dorky, sort of does too much, takes on crazy ideas, dude, which I really like and identify with, but he also like takes on crazy ideas all the time and like doesn't have a lot of focus and like he's late for paying his taxes and things like that. And
you know. Yeah, that happens.
Right.
He's he's stretched thin.
He is stretched thin, right.
He's a fast talker. He talks really fast.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of entertaining. It's enjoyable. Right. And, what was it? KBOO had the bike show, had special mayoral candidate focuses for the past couple months. And when he was on there, I think it was fun.
Yeah. He's a fun guy to listen to. I remember I heard him at the BTA bike, the Bicycle Transportation Alliance Alice Awards last year.
Oh, yeah.
And he gave the ask at the end. And he just has this like improvisational, like preacher style poetry thing going.
He is a preacher, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And
he's descended from Jefferson Smith or Joseph Smith, actually. So
wait,
is that
seriously?
Right?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Quite interesting.
Yeah.
Is he related to the OLCC? We don't know. Okay.
So he can just, he can bring people to their feet. And so I saw him and I was like, man, this guy could be governor, right?
I believe.
That was the,
glory.
I believed. Of course, it's the religion of then Jefferson.
Yeah.
Right? So there's not a higher purpose necessarily in there, but right. I was
kind
convinced.
Of like Obama.
But if a man is a god, then what else do you need?
What do you guys think about the election? You should do your thing.
Yeah. That's like you were saying, you know, local politics generally drive the things that we chafe against most in day-to-day life. And I mean, you can bitch and moan about taxes as much as you want on the federal level, But usually when it comes down to quality of life issues and the things that you want to see change in your own neighborhood, local elections are the ones that that you should pay attention to. So that goes for Portland. It goes for any other place that you're in, whether or not you like it. Especially if you don't like it, you can change it.
As for these particular candidates, Jefferson, he's either going to be a tremendous success or here's the thing about Portland's weak executive is you can never be an abysmal failure. You can just be Tom Potter.
Right.
Riding with critical mass.
I mean, he was the people's candidate and all that, but fuck if I know what he did.
Right. He had a nice beard. It was actually only a mediocre beard.
Yeah.
Vera Katz had a better beard than he did.
Oh!
And she didn't have a beard.
She's now frozen in carbonite.
That's right, down by the waterfront.
Esplanade, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea of getting the streetcar to beyond the yuppie part of town, honestly, revitalize. Like if you look at those studies people did with let's ask businesses and residents and all that, like where would you want a streetcar on the east side? They map out almost precisely everywhere they used to be. Like just
that's
Belmont and Hawthorne and going down 50th, down to Foster.
That's a really good point.
It ends in Lentz.
And all these neighborhoods were built by streetcars. That's a really good point.
Yeah, well, that's what makes it a walkable neighborhood is about every 10 blocks there used to be one.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it was more strip development than nodal, and I prefer little nodes like Lentz used to be.
Yeah.
So I'm encouraged to hear that Hales he's not just coasting on the idea of streetcar stuff,
not
but he may actually be able
rails.
To do it. Yeah, because I'm a fan of just broadly, as someone who's spending a lot of time studying oil decline and all that, depetrolizing our mass transit. I think building resilience to oil shocks into our system is good. It may cost us more initially, but yeah, I think it's just good common sense to get depetrolled.
Well, we had wood-fired steam engines before. We could have them again. Yeah.
Amanda Fritz, interesting note I learned from our thing, which was done by Aaron Brown, my friend who put together this voter's guide for the Portland Afoot, which is fantastic. He got from her that she wants a standalone streetcar loop just in Lentz. That is her next priority. For
is that right?
Do you guys know this?
Not connected to anything else?
No, to the max.
Oh.
Just like running in a loop. Or to and
that's
to,
hysterical.
I forgot we have a max
Lentz
here.
And Palhurst-Gilbert. To in the phrase of Chris Smith, a friend of mine, to put some there.
If there wasn't any there
I
before,
I would have put a vote in for if I'd known that. I think I did vote for her.
Okay,
anyway.
She's running against Nolan. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah,
Christopher Nolan.
No.
Mary.
No, okay.
I would vote for Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not going to do it. I was going to say I believe the end of the line 10 bus is what circulates through, Palhurst, Gilbert, and Lentz right now.
Okay.
So that the streetcar loop, if that indeed went in, might replace that end of the bus.
I guess so.
I guess, which would be interesting.
Yeah.
That's curious. Yeah. Well, Ed, you had a lightning round thing you wanted to do, and we are bumping up against against the hour mark.
So
not that it matters for us. We can go as long as we need to.
Here's the goal. I want to get as much out of you guys as I can. So you guys are my simple life gurus, or at least among them.
Squeeze the simple life melon, sir.
Yeah. I'm going to give you guys a noun, and I want to hear from you guys the simple life perspective on simplifying the good life perspective on each of these nouns.
All right. Are we giving one word responses?
No.
No.
Well, you can.
Okay.
Tweet scaled responses.
Yeah, I don't know. Something like that.
Sounds good. Are we ringing in?
Let's spirit move. Here we go. cooking.
Brock shouldn't respond at all.
User,
he eats quesadillas.
The first thing that came to mind was microwave, but we're against those. So.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's what I wanted to know, because I was only aware of the anti-microwave thing from you guys.
Yeah, resourceful.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry, the microwave-free thing.
Yes.
Resourceful, shared.
Shared is fantastic. Yeah, you and I and our wives have been working on a shared food system for about 3 months, 4 months.
How's it work?
7 months.
Basically, we buy stuff, and we haven't really drawn up a list of things, but it's the idea of consumably raised. We try and get cage-free eggs when we can. We don't buy a lot of meat.
Free-range meat when we if there's meat, but yeah.
Right. And so collecting all those expenses and then basically dividing them down the middle. Whoever paid less pays back the other party, because my wife and I are a financial unit, and your wife and you are a financial unit. So it's basic addition and subtraction. Works out pretty well. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, it lets us share a little bit more.
So you have to do less labeling on the things in the fridge.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it lets us if you make one dish, why not make a hell of a lot of it
and put it
in little Tupperwares all throughout the fridge.
Orzo salad.
Yeah. Like I'll make 5 gallon batches of a recipe I used to make at Whole Foods, the spinach feta orzo salad, and
pretty damn tasty.
Yeah, like if I'm gonna soil a dish. Being a lazy man, I want to just only have to clean it once. So
that's right.
Yeah, it lets us share.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know what I like about that? It gives you an incentive to become a good cook, because you can charge more to your roommates when they move in with you or whatever, right?
So, that's right, yeah. Or spend more on groceries than your other person does.
Yes, that's true.
While still observing the limit, the ceiling.
Well, it also makes us inclined to be more hospitable to one another. So like if we're cooking... and we know, hey, I'm already making something for people. Like, we can all be in on it together without it being a little bit of an extra burden on either family.
As opposed to get your own damn food, because I pay for the steak myself.
Yeah, exactly. Because instead of having, like, two people making meals in the kitchen at the same time under their separate budget system, it all opens it up to hospitality.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Someone cooks, someone cleans.
So that's how we're practicing it.
Voting.
Overrated.
Do it.
For what we just talked about for 20 minutes.
What's the simple life way of informing oneself about voting?
Informing. Well, irssportlandafoot.org.
Excellent.
Yeah, next question.
No, it seems like it's really nice to inform yourself as well as you can on the candidates that you that you are interested in and think you might want to vote for. Maybe know them before you vote for them.
Decision makers should be stakeholders. Ooh. People trying to live above and beyond the land that they're claiming to represent. I don't have much time for. Mm-hmm. Honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, that's colonial.
How do you know who is a stakeholder and who's not?
Well, Charlie Hales, I wish him well, but he lived in Vancouver, for example.
Right.
For a few years to vote in one state, but not pay taxes in another.
That's a big thing for me too.
Yeah, I think just paying close attention to where do you frequent? What do you do? Like that. And you can't scale that much past the city level, but you can still try really hard to make sure people are going to have some sense of ownership of the consequences.
Yeah. I want a candidate that I can have a beer at the local pub with.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. House hunting.
House hunting.
Ooh, that's a fun.
Well, I guess we're renting this place that we live in now. So, what low rent? Spending as little as you can on a place,
so you can enjoy the other things in your life. Presumably,
that's true. Right. Yeah, for me at least. For you, Brandon?
The land is never ours.
Mm.
House hunting in the name of investment. Investment's a really ugly word to relate to the earth.
Hmm.
So I would say house hunt for a place that you want to put down roots in and give yourself to the flourishing of. Mm. That's kind of my take on it. So
investment in time.
Well,
investment
don't do that bullshit where you're like, oh, I want to buy this house, and then in 20 years the house will be worth another $100,000 more. I could sell it, and I got all that extra. like, the land is not something that, like, capital doesn't show up out of nowhere, mm-hmm. or it shouldn't. And we shouldn't play that game, I don't think. I think that's playing the Empire's game, not the human game. So
unless you're a European settler just arriving on a new continent.
Was that a the Empire's game? Is that a Star Wars?
I don't know. I think there was a game called Star Wars Empire.
Romulan.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Clothing.
A lot of ewes, a lot of wool. Mm-hmm. I'm actually wearing a smart wool t-shirt right now. That was purchased new. But wool dries out faster than any other material that I know of. Carries less body odor. You can reuse it a couple days in a row.
Really?
Good for touring. Washes well. I like those.
Out of something real.
I'm so glad I did this, guys. True enough. I'm learning so much.
Well, I also I really like used clothing as much as I can get it. eBay. I've been buying pants on eBay.
Pants on eBay?
Yes, for years.
I could do shirts, but not pants.
Well,
What
I always do is I get the Levi's 511s, which are the polyester. Those dry out faster than cotton jeans usually do. So I've been wearing those. I'm actually wearing a pair of jeans now from Swerve.
Oh my God, he is.
.us. it's the first pair of jeans I've worn in like 6-7 years. Polyester pants. It's a good cheap cycling pant. So yeah. I just went online, found them, and bought like 18 pairs for $20.
Above, poly below. Is that your?
Generally, yeah.
Yeah. So, side note, the ordering stuff online in general is totally a sort of simple life, low car life thing that I've only recently realized. But like, errands take a lot of money and time, and the post office walks to my door every day, and it's a really large mm-hmm. benefit to have all this stuff available that I can order that Amazon or whatever will ship to me, and it just shows up at my door. I don't have to get on the bus mm-hmm. to ride all around town to do that.
Yeah, if the delivery trucks are already running, you might as well use them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Although there's the counter side, which is local clothing resellers.
Right. Exactly. So I don't know how to weigh that against each other. Right.
Depends on who has what you want. I think for me, I care far more about style than I should. Hmm. You?
Oh, all my clothes are starting to fall apart. I've got t-shirts that I've had since I was in high school.
Yeah.
And
you were in high school.
Yeah. Quite. My wife is thrilled for some time in the next couple of weeks as to go through all of my clothes and decide. All right. Well, I've also phased through several different sort of aesthetic dispositions. So I'm
you're on the demilitarized coat now.
Yeah, indeed. I've got my military coat from Andy and Beck's and my Carhartt pants and my Toms. I have dress socks. So I don't know what I'm doing, but I need to have something a bit more coherent.
Retaining clothing is your model.
It's the Royal Sampler.
Yeah. Retain clothing. And, I tend to buy used. I like the Goodwill.
There you go.
Yeah. That's about it.
All right.
Well, just remember this. If you buy new clothing, you generally look like a douche. Which is exactly how I look now.
Last three. Gifts.
Relational. Time.
Mm.
It might be because I'm cheap, but it's also because, honestly, I don't always have that many resources. Like, I sometimes can't make much past the rent, and it's nice to be able to give somebody something. Like, for Christmas this last year, I gave people coupons, which can be kind of like a stupid gift, except I gave people, like, I think I'm cashing in Allison's voucher for garden work sometime mm-hmm. next week.
Good. I bought her one of those too from her. So
yeah. I bought her husband Rod a big plate of greasy fries over at the local the 72nd Avenue pub because it was just junk food session was his. So yeah,
that's great.
Relational.
Yeah,
I'll stand by that. Yeah.
Awesome. Sex.
Natural family planning. See episode 9.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Oh,
doing it without birth control, but not having kids.
All right.
Yeah.
How does this work?
It would take a long time. Basically, it's sex when you're not fertile.
Mm.
I mean, men are always fertile. Women are perennially fertile, sometimes fertile. So, yeah, find the times that they are
seasonally.
Not. Yes, and do it then.
And is that, that's much maligned.
Yeah. Well, if you call it the rhythm method, it deserves to be maligned because the calendar that we have set up doesn't match the calendar of the body. Uh-huh. The periods of fertility and infertility cycle at a different rate than our Gregorian calendars do. So you can't trust just counting days.
Episode 9.
Episode 9.
Great.
Paying attention to the body.
To my wife's chagrin.
Right.
Okay. Brandon? It's fun. Lambskin condoms.
I did skip reproduction, actually. Is reproduction compatible with the Simple Life?
Depends on who you ask. Right after we released episode 9, someone who had just started listening to us maligned us as breeders. And that was because we had not yet severed the vas deferens and or what is it? Yeah, the tubes, mm-hmm. the little guys travel down. I think it depends. If you're just planning on having tons and tons of kids, you know, indiscriminately, for religious reasons or whatever else, it seems like that's probably a bad idea because we're bumping up against limited resources. But at the same time, it also seems like, kids are joyful. And some of the funnest times I've had have been, you know, with like our friends' little kids and all that. So, yeah.
To be completely shrewd about it. So if all the do-gooders, let's just fucking hypotheticalize this, okay? So if all the do-gooders that are like, man, there's too many breeders out there and we're overpopulated and we're like stretched to like we're destroying the earth because there's so many of us living so fat on the land. If they're all the ones that do not gift the future with another generation of people with values in that direction.
I'm nervous about where you're going here.
Well, then all the people from Clackamas County are going to be the ones that inherit the future.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. No, it's
okay.
True.
Clark County and Clackamas County are going to be it. And Multnomah will be a wasteland, which is why like 15% of all households in Multnomah County have somebody in PPS. And that's why Portland, for as much as we're good liberals here, our education system is failing because we don't know somebody from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah.
And I believe there's a certain beauty, like
know somebody from tomorrow.
You need to know. Well, and I think you need to create it just one person from tomorrow. If your life stage will afford you that, like I do not. I for a long time I wanted to only adopt and participate in tomorrow that way, but I realized I think there's just certain power in just participating in this like ancient component of human identity and life. And I only want to do that once. but I really do want to do that.
Yeah.
It's not just about being 25 forever. Mm-hmm. Honestly. Mm-hmm. And if the good Multnomah County liberals cede the future to Clackamas,
so to speak.
To play these big, broad, unfair stereotypes. You know, that's hard. And
we have to own the future.
Out hustling everybody else.
Yeah. Out hustling everybody else.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nice. No, it's like the movie Idiocracy. Have you seen this? I was channeling Jefferson there for a minute.
I'll step down from the pulpit.
No, Idiocracy starts with a fantastic montage of all the smart people not reproducing and all the dumb people reproducing like hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. Even if you only watch the first 5 minutes, we should do that after we stop taping.
All right.
Yeah. Great. What was your last one?
Death.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Bury me in the garden, baby.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
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 Our friend Lewis wants that, right?
Yeah, I want a coffinless one, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of sort of joking, but I mean, that actually, yeah, I would say probably closer to incineration. What's the cremation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's burial. That's not death. I mean, that's important, but
that's true.
What about
yeah.
death? Is hospice part of this? Like how much medical care are we planning for?
I would love to be off drugs. I would love to be at the end of my life, I would like to see the people that are around me and know they are there. And it's hard to say. I mean, it's probably easier to say that now when I'm not in pain or something, but but yeah, I think to me it seems that that's what I would want.
We live in a tremendous fear of death as a culture, and there's a massive medical industrial complex built up around keeping you biologically alive for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when my step grandfather was he got a surgery to live an extra like 2 years. And after that surgery, it wasn't too much longer that he said, you know, I don't know if I made the right decision. Because it was not a healthy or happy, particularly final 3 years. But man, some people made money off of that. And I feel like if we can just learn how to live honestly about the fact that death is something that we can live with, I feel like just we can live more honestly as humans.
Yeah, and for something that's as much a part of life as it is, we've sure been isolated from it. So yeah, it's curious. Makes me think. I don't know what to think about it, but it makes me think.
Yeah, I don't know once I get to that moment where it's like, do you want to live off tubes for another couple of years or not?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, my heart tells me, that's probably just, that's not being fully alive. But I think we've let the people who stand to make money off of things give us the answers and suggest questions to us for far too long.
Mm-hmm.
So that's simplified death.
Yeah.
That's weird.
it certainly is. well, thank you. If not a lightning round, at least a rolling thunder round.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. That was fun.
Great.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for telling me.
Should we do the mailbag real quick before we close out? Got a few of those.
Yeah, we can do a few of those.
All right. Well, in that case,
you've got mail.
Well done.
Thank you.
Wow. Jim says, check out this link to an upcoming indie film to be released regarding Tom Allen's big tour and the decisions he had to make. Janajar, JANAPAR.com. Looking forward to your upcoming Path Less Pedaled, now past. Interview. No, wait, we haven't broadcast that one yet.
Not yet. We recorded it, but we haven't put it up yet. Yeah.
And also appreciated your interview with Rebecca Lerner.
I actually, after this guy told me, thank you, Jim, after you told me about Janapar, I checked out the trailer on the website and it looked pretty fantastic. I retweeted it. And then the guy featured in the film, who was making the film, Tom Allen, actually tweeted back and said, hey, I'm in Portland for another 24 hours. You want to talk?
Oh, this is the guy?
Yeah, so I met him downtown yesterday, recorded an interview, and his brother.
Big-ass sandwiches.
Yeah, we had big-ass sandwiches. They were fantastic. So we're going to post that.
So you're living fat on the land.
Yeah, no kidding. So we're going to post that interview sometime this summer. So, yeah, be looking for that.
Right. Next up from Dan in MN.
Minnesota.
That's it. On the foraging episode, looking for free food was a must in my family when I was growing up. We caught fish, ate mushrooms, harvested wild rice. Wow. Did maple syrup, picked hazelnuts, and ate ferns. We just sauteed ferns this morning.
Nice.
We also made our own medicines. Nice to know that other people do this.
That's pretty cool.
Shoot, we got Dan on the episode.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, I think he's of Native American descent and lived on a reservation, and so he was saying that was just part of his family lifestyle. Which it's pretty cool. That's I would love to try some of those things sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. It just makes me think of how much I'm gonna miss getting to go mushroom hunting with John Eads.
Oh, true enough. Yeah, good
learn
friend
how to
of
do
ours.
That myself.
Moving away.
Mm. Finally, Johnny K in Florida.
Johnny K.
I can discern FL from here. If you don't want flats from glass, just get tire liners. However, you will never get a Fred to use these because, God forbid, they add weight to their bikes.
That's true. Yeah, I think that was in response to your glass diplomacy thing.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Just got back from the dinner with Ellie Blue and friends. I really enjoyed it and was very much a learning experience. So now I cannot wait for your interview with her.
Yeah, and Ellie Blue, I think, said that Jacksonville, Florida was on fire. There's lots of bikey people there, so that's kind of cool. Mm. That's pieces of our virtual world colliding.
Woo.
Yeah, good times. Well, hey, we are over our hour mark, but it's been a fantastic one. So I will hit the music and we will move out. Michael, anything else you want to throw in there?
It's been great to be here.
I'm glad you come.
I'm glad
and,
to be here.
Well, hey, the Sprocket Podcast is available on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. You can send us your feedback, suggestions for anything at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. You can call us and leave us a voicemail. Tell us a story. We'll play it on the air. It's 503-847-9774. You can also text us there because we're into simplicity. Thank you to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. He's on the internet at myspace.com/RyanJLane. He's also going to show up at my birthday party playing some music on June 2nd. Best bands ever. Thanks also to Hurtbird for our headline sounder there at hurtbirdmusic.com. We'll see you next week.
Vote, fuckers. You are one of us, sir.
That's right. I should probably have us test out our microphones real quick. Yeah. You want to spew something into yours?
I am spewing.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Good. And do you recognize that sound effect?
Which one?
By any chance?
No.
I believe that's the bell from the beginning of Chillaxin' on the Max.
That's fantastic. Awesome.
You sampled that song?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, not the song, just the sound effect.
Just the best part. Yeah, yeah.
The best part.
It's not a good song.